we worry about it. And then when we're at our rope's end or our wit's end, we then start crying out to God to do something, right? Well, that's never the life he intended us to use or to live. The life he intended us to live was a life that is free from worry and free from stress. I mean, doesn't that sound crazy? In this world we live in right now, that's so crazy. But to live free from worry and to live free from stress, literally being in that garden with him, fellowshipping with him. Now, you know, Adam and Eve, they had tasks to do, you know. They were supposed to till the garden. They had to work. God had something for them to do, but it was this idea of being in the garden and God was there in his presence. Then he'd come every evening and fellowship with them. But the whole time his presence was there with them. His glory was there in the midst of the garden. And what God wants us to do is to learn to be that away and still live that away, where we live our lives every day still in the midst of the garden with him. Right? But we don't do it. And because we don't do it, then we get anxious and we get worried and we get stressful. So, I want to look at a story that I just had to laugh at. I was reading here in John 14. And we'll start here in verse 22. If you look back up above that, that's when Jesus got through feeding the 5,000 and was ministering to them and speaking to them. And then verse 22 starts. And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. Now when he sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Now the evening was come and he was alone there. Now, I know this may be, you may say, oh yeah, I know this story, but just don't get distracted tonight. Hang in here because I want to show you something here. It says, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now it was the fourth watch of the night, and Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now, one thing you can bet on is that the disciples were human. Right? And these guys are just guys. They've been fishermen. They've worked with their hands all their lives. They're just guys. And so they're rowing a boat. Okay? They're in this boat and they're struggling. Now the boat, I've looked this up and I can't tell you what kind of a boat it was. It wasn't what you're going to think of, your typical John boat, row boat like we have here today. But it was a boat that probably had a sail and also had oars. And so you got 12 guys in a boat and the wind's whipping up. Okay? And so they're trying to keep the sail up. They're trying to keep everything up. Now, these guys are experienced sailors. It's not like they just lumbered out in a boat and got in a boat and tried to go across and didn't really know what they were doing. Right? And so they're all out there trying to work together. But you know, in a rowboat, one of the things that amazes me is in the Olympics is the rowing. You know, when there's like, I don't know how many there are people in a boat. You know, there's what? Bunch, 12, 15 of them, right, in a boat. Somebody's sitting in the back and that little old thing's just cutting through the water and they're all just perfectly in time pulling in. And it looks like every one of them is pulling exactly at the same strength or whatever. And then all of a sudden one of them, and then it starts getting out a little bit farther, you know, and they're doing something right. Right? Because they're getting out ahead of everybody else. Well, these guys are in this boat and they're all working at it. They're all rowing it all. But you can just, I can't imagine that 12 guys were in a boat that there wasn't some sort of, you know, yeah, getting going on. Right? Can't you hold your side of the boat? What are you doing? Somebody's saying, we're sinking. Because if you look over in Mark's gospel, it said water was coming to the boat and they thought they were sinking. And so, you know, somebody's saying, you know, bail the water. Will you bail the water? You know, and I don't think they were like, oh, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, as they're pulling across there. Because they were too human. They're cutting people's ear off right there in the at the end, right? So, I mean, and so they're probably talking trash to each other and calling everybody all kinds of crazy names and whatever, and they're trying to get the boat, and somebody's screaming, oh my God, we're going to die, and the other person's saying, why don't you shut up, don't you have any faith, Jesus is about to do something, and then somebody else is saying, we'll never make it, and the other person says, sure we will, right? And there's all this controversy going on the boat, right? Does that not sound like the world today or life today. And you got 12 guys that are supposed to be working together. And they're just, you know what's going on. And they're going along, and you know, it says the wind, it was storming, and there was talks about the wind, and it says there's water in the boat, so I don't know if it was raining. Okay? But I kind of, in my mind, picture it that way. I don't know if it really was, but, you know, I'm just going to say it was. So in the middle of the storm that's going on, I mean, somebody had to look and see Jesus walking on the water. Well, no one said, "Ha! Don't worry, guys, it's okay. Jesus walked on the water." It also, they freaked out. Look at what the text says here. Basically, they started screaming. The disciples saw him working on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out for fear. Okay? In Mark's gospel, Mark 6:49, it says, let me back up just a second. In Mark, I'm in Mark 6:48. It says, Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And it was about the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea. And Mark says something here that is not said in Matthew's gospel or John's gospel. It says, and would have passed them by. I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to realize that when you read the gospels, all the writers are writing from their own observation, right? Of what they saw. And some writers, certain things stuck out to them, and other ones, it didn't stick out so much, and so that's why it wasn't included in their gospel, right? Well, Mark notes he would have kept walking. So in other words, Jesus sees them, it says he sees them straining against the wind and everything, but Jesus is just walking by. Oh, guys. Somebody sees him, they freak out, go to crying. Fear comes upon them. Is it not true that as human beings, when something looks different, something looks awry, that we usually think it's bad? Is it not true that fear uses what comes upon us? And I want to tell you when that happened. Fear came upon the human race the day that Eve bit the proverbial apple. Prior to that, there was no fear. They were in the presence of God and there was no fear. When she bit the apple and sin came in, immediately humans changed in our spirits to where, or in our souls, to where when something happens, fear comes. And the reason why is because we view ourselves as being absent or not present with God. What happened? They had to get out of the garden. What happens with us as humans? We our first fear is not, "Oh, great, we're in a car wreck. Praise God. This is a good time for God to have a miracle." Right? We don't say things like that. "Oh, I checked today and somebody stole my checkbook and all my money's going out of the account. Glory to God. Well, Lord, I just thank you. You said if a thief be found, he's going to turn back sevenfold. So I thank you. I'm getting sevenfold back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peace on earth." We don't do that. We don't do what the scripture says. When the scripture says to us, I mean, that's what the scripture says, right? But it's our human nature that we'd be like the disciples were in the middle of the problem of the life, that we freak out and we step out in fear first, not faith. Okay? Everybody say good preaching. Okay. So they think it's a ghost. So they cry out for fear, and immediately he spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, I want to change this, and I'm not trying to make the gospel sound, say something different, but let me see if I could read it like this. Have joy, I am. Do the opposite. In other words, fear is the opposite of faith. If you go read the Greek text in there, when he says, it is I, it's actually he said, I am. I am that I am. He is the one. He is the great I am, right? So he says, be of good cheer. He said, have some joy. I am. Just do the opposite of what you're thinking. So, you know, when we come into something situation and we first thing we do is fear comes on us, we've got to do the opposite, which is have faith. Right? Okay. What's interesting is no other gospel records Peter walking on the water except Matthew. The other gospel writers don't even talk about Peter walking on the water. But why would you? Right? You don't want to look showed up. And what are you going to do? And as I sat in the boat, Peter stepped over the rail. Huh? I mean, come on, it's a bunch of guys writing a book. So, you know, we get on the point about Peter, and we study and look about Peter all the time about what he did and, you know, how he walked on water and all kind of stuff. But this is what I saw. What's interesting is that so many times we read that story, and we read the story, and all we're thinking about is how Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. But what we're not thinking about is there was 11 other guys in the boat that didn't do anything. They couldn't get out of the boat or their security. Huh? Their security of their surrounding, they couldn't get out of that. They couldn't turn loose of their way they had always done it, or their tradition, or their religion, or their comfort zone. They couldn't get out of that. They couldn't lose that security to go to Jesus to actually walk in a miracle. Or they couldn't get out of their comfort zone to operate in the supernatural. Sometimes it's our comfort zone to worry about something, fret about something. And it takes us turning loose of our comfort to say, I don't like being miserable. I don't like being like this. I want to change. I want to do something about it, which means you have to take a risk. You have to be willing to risk with Jesus is right and the word's right and what he said is true and what he promised is true and step out of the boat. And that's a scary thing. Only one out of 12 did it. I don't know what happened then. I don't know what happened in the conversation. See, it's another one of those things. I want to get to heaven and see the DVD on this event. Because it's like, what were they saying? What did they say to each other? What was it? Man, he's walking on water. Oh, I should have done it. Are you kidding? You might have drowned. Well, if he can do it, I can do it. Who does he think he is? Walk on the water. Look at Peter, arrogant sucker. Stepped out of the boat. You know, there's all this kind of talk going on. You know it. Because they're humans. Somebody else may, well, that's the last time we're taking him in the boat. I mean, he ain't going to act like that. He can just walk from now on if he thinks he's so special. All these things happen in the boat. When the truth is, it's funny to me that Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm trying to teach you a lesson. Get everybody out of the boat. Because you see, that's the thing that's so amazing about God, is he is never going to pull you, coerce you, force you to do anything that you're not willing to step out by faith and follow him in doing. He won't do it. He's not a drill sergeant. It's that everything that we do in life, he wants us to do the opposite of what our nature would be, to have fear and to have faith in him and to be willing to say, you know, Lord, step out of the boat. Let's walk on the water. Now, you know, the story goes on, and I don't know, Bob, flip down a couple of verses there. He goes down and, well, go back up the other way. Go to 48 or, no, I'm wrong. Go down. Oh, we're in Mark's gospel. Go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew 14. Okay, go to 28. If it's you, command me to come to you on the water and go on. So he said, well, come. Isn't it great that when Jesus, listen, the things you want to believe God for, he doesn't want to tell you. He is never going to tell you no. I mean, he didn't see Jesus say, shut up and sit down in the boat. You guys can't even get across the ocean or the sea. You with me? He didn't see him say, who do you think you are, the Son of God? You want to walk on the water? You want to have faith? You want to trust in me? Come on, man. Let's do it. So it says, he came out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, see, when he got his eyes off of the prize, when he got his eyes off walking the supernatural, then he begins to sink and he doesn't just go, right? It was a slow thing. He must have just started sinking, just slow, down. And Jesus gets him out. You know, they get in the boat. John's gospel said when he got in the boat, the wind ceased and immediately they were on land. So then there was this another supernatural event took place. Because surely the disciples weren't stupid enough to just be a few feet off the bank and thought they were drowning. But what I feel like the Lord's just saying to us is that we've got to be willing in life to take those risks, to get out of our comfort zone, our security, our boat. And we've got to be not listening to everything that's surrounding us, the talk of surrounding us, unless it's filled with faith. Because if we do, we'll never step out. We'll always listen to all that talk around us. We've got to listen and hear the voice of Jesus say, come. Right? And we've got to do the opposite of what our nature may be at the moment, which would be fearful. I did something the other day that I've never done before. Some of y'all will laugh at this. Others of you will think I'm crazy. But we killed a big rattlesnake on the job. I hate snakes. I hate snakes. I've never been around. Don't like to be around them. Don't whatever. But I forced myself. This snake was dead, truly dead. Run over by the maintainer, so he is dead. And I went over there and got him by the tail, and I picked him up. Man, my skin was crawling, but I said, "I'm gonna overcome a fear. I'm not gonna be ever again say I'm afraid of snakes." And so I went over there and got that nasty sucker by the back of his tail, slid him out, picked him up. Look how long it was. Everybody was freaking out around me, you know. There was this tendency I had as a little kid to throw it on somebody, you know, but I withheld to myself because everybody like had a rock in their hands and don't you fling that thing over here, man. But I did it because I knew I was afraid of snakes. And you know, it's kind of funny because the scripture came to my mind, you know, that nothing will happen to you in Mark 16. You know, right? I said, well, I've got a promise, an obvious promise on this one. And, of course, I was on the other end, and I knew he was truly dead, too. But it was the first step. But it wasn't comfortable. So what I'm saying is, some of the times we're going to have to trust Jesus and get out of our boat and say, no, Lord, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I just trust you. And it may take us out of our comfort zone, but it's okay. As long as we're following his will. Amen? Hearing him say, come on. Where people get off in life is when they try to do something stupid, like, you know, they didn't ever heard Jesus say, come. How about that? He told me I could fly, so I am going to leap off the building. No. That's all you. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, you know, you can do it. Amen. Get out of the boat and do some walking. Well, praise God. Ushers, help me tonight. We'll take up our offering. This Sunday, Brother Ivan is not going to be with us. He had to reschedule. He's going to be with us the third Sunday in January. And so he's probably going to be here for a while. He'll come in. We may do Sunday through a Wednesday or something like that, do a little longer time. He's really upset because he missed August because Bethany came. And then I told him, y'all like Bethany better than him. So I poked and stirred the fire a little bit. And then this had to cancel. So I said, well, you know, you might as well just come on next year in May. No. So he actually called another church and got them to cancel or change their deal so we could be in there. So I said, okay, well, maybe we'll take you back. We'll see how good you can do when you get here. I said, but bring Bethany. So I'm having some fun with him. So if you need an offering envelope, lift your hands, I'll get you one. God's Girls Christmas Ornament Party tomorrow. Over here? Utopia on the River. What time? 6:30. If you're late, door's locked and can't get in, right? No? Okay, 6:30, Utopia on the River, God's Girls Ornament Party. That's a Christmas ornament. One of those things that hang on the tree. Gotcha. Bring something to eat. Have some fun. Bring somebody. Herds of people. Sounds good. So put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just declare in Jesus' name that we are blessed people. We are blessed beyond belief, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But we're blessed because, Lord, you put your hand on our life and you put your hand on our businesses and you prosper us in everything that we do. Lord, we want to be water walkers. We want to be out there in life for you. We want to see people saved and healed and blessed and touched. We want to hear tremendous words of testimonies of what you're doing out there in the world. We want to advance the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. So, Lord, I thank you for your hand upon our life and for blessing us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.